things weren't 100% successful. They say that no plant survives first contact with implantation. I'll have to agree. Here's what happened. I summoned up the courage to return to the HAP. Once I got there, I felt a little more confident. Everything was how I left it. You know, what did I expect? Martian looking my stuff? It won't take a while to let the HAP go, so I start at right way by turning the temperature down to 1 degree Celsius. I bagged the potato plants and got a chance to check up on them while I was in it. They were rooting nicely and about to sprout. One thing I hadn't accounted for was how to bring them from the HAP to the rovers. The answer was pretty easy. I put all of them in the Martinez spacesuit. Then I dragged it out with me to the rover and I set up as a temporary nursery. So make sure to jimmy the heat to stay on. I head back to the HAP. By the time I got back, it was already chilly, down to 5 degrees Celsius already. The shivering and seeing my breath condense in front of me. I threw on an extra layer of clothes, fortunately. And I was not a very big man. The Martinez clothes fit over mine, and the Vogler's fit over Martinez. These shitty clothes were designed to be worn in a temperature-controlled environment. And even when 3 layers, I was still cold. And I climb up into my bunk and under the covers for more warmth. Once the temperature got to 1 degree Celsius, I waited another hour just to make sure that the bacteria in the dirt got the memo that it was time to take it slow. The next problem I ran into was the regulator. Despite my swaggering confidence, I wasn't able to outwit it. It really does not want to pull too much O2 out of the air. The lowest I could get it was 50%. And after that, it flatly refused to go lower. And nothing I did mattered. I had all these plans about getting in and reprogramming it. But the safety protocols turned out to be the ROMs. I can't blame it. Its whole purpose is to prevent the atmosphere from becoming lethal. Nobody at NASA say, "Hey, let's allow a fatal lack of oxygen that would make everyone drop dead." So I had to use a more primitive plan. The regulator uses a different set of vents for air sampling than it does for many air separation. The air that gets free separated comes in through a single large vent on the main unit. But it samples the air from 9 small vents that pipe back to the main unit. That way, it gets a good average of HAP and prevents one localized imbalance from throwing off. I tap up 8 of the intakes, leaving only one of them active. Then I tap the mouth of a hefty size bag over the neck hole of a spacesuit. In the back of a bag, I poked a small hole and tapped it over the remaining intake. Then I inflated the bag with the pure O2 from the suit's tank. Holy shit, the regulator thought. I better pull O2 out right away. Well, great. I decided I'm not wear a spacesuit after all. The atmosphere pressure was going to be fine. All I needed is oxygen. So I grabbed an O2 canister from a medical bay. That way I had the hell of a lot more freedom to motion. I even had a rubber band to keep it to my face. Though I did need a spacesuit to monitor the actual HAP oxygen level, each spacesuit knew how to monitor it. Own internal air, of course. Let's see. Martinez's spacesuit was in the rover. Janison's was out waiting in the regulator. And Lewis was serving as a water tank. I didn't want to mess with mine. That left me 3 spacesuits to work with. I grabbed Vogler's suit and activated the internal air sensor while leaving the helmet off. Once the oxygen dropped to 20%, I put the breather mask on, and I watched it pour further and further. When it reached 1%, I cut power to the regulator. I may not be able to reprogram the regulator, but I could turn the bastard off completely. The HAP has emergency flashlights in many locations in case of critical power failure. I told the LED bubbles out of one and left the 2 flare power wires very closely together. Now when I turn it on, I got a small spark. take a canister of O2 from the Vogel suit. I attached the strap to both ends and slung it over my shoulder. Then I attached an air line to the tank and crimped it with my thumb. I turned on a very slow trickle of O2, small enough that it could overpower the crimp. Standing on the table with a sparkle in one hand and my oxygen line in the other, I reached up and gave it a try. And holy hell, it worked. Blowing the O2 over the sparkle, I flicked the switch on the flashlight and a wonderful jet of flame fired out of the tub. The fire alarm went off, of course, but I've heard it so much lately, I barely notice it anymore. Then I did again and again. Short burst, nothing flashy. I was happy to take my time. I was elated. That was the best plan ever. Not only was I clearing out the hydrogen, I was making more water. Everything went great right up into the explosion. And 1 minute I was happily burning hydrogen, the next I was on the other side of the HAP, and a lot of stuff was knocked over. I stumbled to my feet and saw the HAP in disarray. My first thought was, my ears hurt like hell. I'm dizzy, and feel like to the knees. Then I feel prone. I was that dizzy. I grabbed up my hair with both hands, looking up a HAP wound. I desperately hope not to be there. Nothing seems to be amiss. But feeling all over my head and face revealed the true problem. My oxygen mask had been ripped off in the blast. I was breathing nearly pure nitrogen. The floor was covered in junk from all over the HAP. No hoping of finding the medical O2 tank. No hoping of finding anything in the mess before I passed out. Then I saw Louis' suit hanging right when it blows, and it hadn't moved in the blast. It was heavy to start with and had 70 liters of water in it. Rushing over, I quickly crammed on the O2 and stuck my head into the nick hole. I removed the helmet long ago for easy access to the water. I breathed a little bit until the dizziness faded, then took up a deep breath and hit it. Still holding my breath, I glanced over the spacesuit and hefty backup used to outsmart the regulator. The bad news is I never removed them. The good news is the explosion removed them. 8 of the 9 intakes from the regulator was still backed, but this one would at least tell the truth. Stumbling over the regulator, I turned it back. After 2 seconds of boot process, it was made to start up fast for obvious reason. It immediately identified the problem. The shrill low oxygen alarm blared throughout the HAP as the regulator dumped pure oxygen into the atmosphere as fast as it safely could. And separating oxygen from the atmosphere is difficult and time consuming, but adding it to the as simple as opening a valve. I clambered over the debris back to the Lewis spacesuit and put my HAP back in for more good air. Within 3 minutes, the regulator had brought the HAP oxygen back to the par. I noticed for the first time how burned my clothing was. It was a good time to be wearing 3 layers of clothing, and mostly the damage was on my sleeve, and the outer layers was gone. The middle layer was seen and burned clean through the in space. The inner layer, my own uniform, was in reasonably good shape. Looks like I lucked out again. Also, the glassing at the HAP's main computer, I see the temperatures rose to 50 degrees Celsius. Something was very hot and very exploded happened. I wasn't sure where or how. And that's where I'm now, wondering what the hell would happen. After all that work and getting blown up, I was exhausted. Tomorrow I will have to do a million equipment checks to try to figure out what blew up. But for now, I just want to sleep. I'm in the rover again tonight, even with the hydrogen gone. I'm reluctant to hang out in a HAP that has a history of exploding for no reason. Plus, I can't be sure there isn't a leak. So this time, I brought a proper meal and something to listen to that is not disco.